to the Axis Astrology Podcast. My name is Alison Price. I'm here with my good friend Owen O'Neill. We're going to be discussing the astrology of the day.
And we're also going to be talking about Scorpio, because the sun's moving into Scorpio, and this next 2 weeks will be the first 2 weeks of that sign. So we'll be discussing what Scorpio means, and a few notable personalities from history that were Scorpios. In fact, they were what I'm calling super Scorpios. So that will be one topic we cover.
Super Scorpio sounds very interesting indeed.
It does have a sound to it. And we are going to have some, one review, not a book review, but a
Product review?
A product review, absolutely. And
we're going to be discussing a little bit about some of the transits coming up, a little bit about the moon phases later on, and some of the events that are maybe going to be coming up in and around our neighborhood.
Yep, absolutely.
So the sun is going into Scorpio?
It is. It's going in on the 22nd of October, and of course it will be there until mid-November, as it always is. And right before that, we've got Mercury going retrograde in Scorpio, so we'll have lots of Scorpio activity going on.
Yes.
Mercury stays retrograde for approximately 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It'll be there until, I believe, the 10th of November. Mm. So that will be interesting. Let's talk about what Mercury retrograde means.
Yes, Mercury goes retrograde 3 times a year, mm-hmm. so this is the third time in 2013, mm-hmm. and it's in Scorpio at the moment, so that means it's retrograding through water, and I think it's just shifted into water, and the next two retrogrades will also be in Cancer and Pisces as it goes. So Mercury retrograde is one of those things that's now coming into the general public's consciousness, mm-hmm. and it's spoken about within regular folk as
yeah.
well. But from an astrological point of view, it's actually Mercury is not actually moving backwards, it just has the appearance of moving backwards.
Right, from our perspective on
yes.
Earth. Yeah.
So it's like there's two trains running down the tracks and you're on one train, you're both going forward, but the other train slows down, mm-hmm. it looks like it's actually going backwards. And that's the impression we're having when any of the planets, including Mercury, goes retrograde.
Right, I love that that metaphor. That very I've always liked that. It's very visual, it's nice.
Yeah, so
it helps explain that.
That's right. So Mercury, when Mercury is retrograde, it's usually one is always, perhaps they suggest that you don't want to make communications or because you'll have to go back and redo things. Mercury retrograde periods are redoing, revising, revisiting stuff mm-hmm. that you've already done.
Yeah, like editing something that you've already written, possibly going back and looking at it again
yes.
or revising something, maybe looking back at any kind of maybe contracts or you know, not wanting to sign them on while Mercury is retrograde, but looking over things that are
yes, reviewing work previously.
Yeah.
So it's great for writers
mm-hmm.
when Mercury is retrograde because you might have been writing, and then this is the time to review or
yeah.
go back over and start your second draft.
Yeah, it's a time to sort of have a reflective period as opposed to a more cardinal forward moving thing, which might be why I actually don't mind Mercury retrograde so much. I've found that that it doesn't seem to bother me as much as some people. Out there that
some
I've heard.
People do get bothered more by Mercury retrogrades, but because if you have Mercury retrograde in your natal chart, mm. it doesn't affect you as much.
Right, that is true.
So I don't know if you...
I don't. But,
oh, you don't.
But
okay.
I've got Mercury in Virgo, and I think maybe Virgos just like it when the world slows down and they can kind of just
absolutely.
chill and observe.
Absolutely. So what you find is with those few people who do have Mercury retrograde, and I actually am one of them, it doesn't really affect you as much because you're quite used to using that retrograde energy within your life anyway. But it's an interesting thing. I like the fact that it's coming into the general public's knowledge. It's bringing astrology in a practical way forward. And we
yeah.
can actually make some comments about what to do and what not to do
it's
when
true.
Mercury is retrograde.
I've heard that. And it's one of those few things, few astrological terms, like Saturn return
yes.
and Mercury retrograde, that people who don't know anything else about astrology may know that term and just use it as what it really means, which is funny. It's one of those, it's like the astrology is almost like a language that that can be used whether you actually know the background of it or the whole cosmology and all that or not.
Exactly.
Which is nice.
So what would you say that then are when this time with Mercury maybe going retrograde mm-hmm. in Scorpio that would be some things that our listeners perhaps would want to maybe avoid?
Oh gosh, well, to avoid.
Maybe like buying I know you don't want to buy a cell phone during this period.
Right, that's one thing, yeah. Anything with computers, that tends
yes.
to be Yeah, making major purchases, they always say, to try to avoid that. Just, it's a good time to do research. And it's funny,
yes.
This research starts with RE, but it's not, it's not redoing anything. But it is sort of, it's, you know, what's the word? Not retroactive, but the opposite of retroactive. It's proactive, I suppose. You know, protecting yourself by you know, being cautious and slowing down and sort of looking into something ahead of time so that you won't have to redo it and go back later.
Yes, I think so. I think it also can be a time when Mercury's retrograde generally to go back on decisions you previously made and go and see what did you actually make those correct decisions to, whatever it is, especially if they're life-changing decisions.
Yeah.
And it can often happen that if you actually even meet the love of your life, or you think it may be, during a retrograde period, you may actually reconsider your commitments there as
right.
well.
Or find that you maybe didn't communicate quite as well as you thought.
Expectations,
you had.
Yes. That's and read the small print. But don't sign. Do not sign documents with Mercury retrograde.
If you can avoid it, true. Well, it's interesting with it being in Scorpio because, of course, Mercury does tend to stick very close to the Sun for obvious reasons. It's a tiny little orbiting, I'm just picturing it, a tiny little ball that orbits very close to the Sun. So from our perspective on Earth, it's always quite close to the Sun, occasionally in a different sign, but very, you know, very close. So the following day, Monday, the 21st, is when Mercury goes retrograde, and the next day, Tuesday, the 22nd, the Sun will go into Scorpio.
Yes.
And Scorpio is an interesting sign. It's and I say this as someone with Scorpio rising, and also someone who whose partner in life is a Scorpio. And
how interesting.
Yes, actually, weirdly enough, we have his Sun and my ascendant are within a degree. They're exactly
how
the same degree. Within actually 3 or 4 arc minutes, which means
double interesting.
Yes, it's just crazy. Actually, is what it is. But
so that really qualifies you to discuss Scorpio in perhaps in depth, even
a little in depth. And yourself, you have 3 planets in Scorpio.
I do. For my sins, I do.
So all that to be said, that we're not going to badmouth Scorpio. We are not here
say absolutely not.
You
they're
know,
great.
We're not even going to dignify the rumors, although maybe a few. But yeah, I mean, they tend to also be among the most vilified of the zodiac, possibly right up there with, you know, Capricorn and Pisces. You know, these signs that tend to get a bad rap, let's say, by some people who maybe the faint of heart, maybe, or
I think it's because Scorpios are very intense,
and it
can actually sometimes scare off the
some people
the
find that intensity to be off-putting.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. But they do. They scrutinize. They like to, you know, to get right to the heart of the matter. They don't like to small talk generally.
Mm-hmm.
They like to you know, the cut to the chase. That I had a friend that used to say that all the time. He was the quintessential Scorpio. And cut to the chase was his favorite phrase, and it's always struck me as a very Scorpio thing to say.
And to be honest, I hadn't realized you'd got Scorpio rising until you mentioned it now, because it's just clicking anyway.
It's funny. I mean, probably one of the most, one of the things I like about listening to other astrology podcasts or reading books is the little personal experiences that people inevitably throw in, even when they don't mean to, which tell you infinitely more about a particular sign or a particular aspect than even like the sort of the cookbook, you know, just when you look up the sign and here's what it says about it. When someone describes, you know, oh, every Scorpio I've known has done X or Y, you know, that's always, it's such a real, and I always find that those are very accurate, those personal experiences. So one of the things about having Scorpio rising, I've found just in my life, is that a lot of times I'll get to know someone, and quite a bit after we've gotten to know each other, once we're friends, they will say, oh, when I first met you, I thought you hated me. Or I thought you were, you know, such a bitch, or, you know, this is back in high school, you know, some people would say. Or they, you know, they found
because
me in
it's
some
the first
way
impression.
To be. Right, it's the first impression, it's your mask, you're not.
The ascendant.
Yeah,
yes.
the personality that's right up front. And and to have that in Scorpio, whichever, you know, whatever the rest of your chart is, that's what people will see first. And so people, you know, especially when you're not paying attention to what you're putting forward, if you're not trying to make any particular kind of impression, that I think is when your ascendant will really just take charge for you.
Yes.
And if you're...
It speaks for you.
Right. And if you're not paying attention sometimes, especially if you're, you know, putting forward a don't mess with me or, you know, like angel of death sort of vibe, that's, you want to know. You should be aware of it either way and do it on purpose, if anything. Mm-hmm. But I did find that was a pattern among people that I would get to know, that they had a very strange first impression of me that was not flattering necessarily, or maybe it was, but I was usually bewildered and said, I didn't mean that, you know.
Goodness, how interesting. Yeah. So would we say then, because the sun's going into Scorpio, and for the first part it'll be going through your 12th house, and at some point it's going to cross your ascendant and go into your first house? Are we looking forward to that day?
We are, and it's early. It's very early. It'll be on the 25th that it goes into my first house, because my rising is 2 degrees, so it's pretty much the whole house.
That is very interesting. So as the sun crosses the ascendant, this is what we're saying, is that it's like it's coming from the darkness of the 12th house into the light.
As the sun rises, exactly, into your first house, which is the house of personality, of your, you know, your ego, your...
You're going to put it out there.
You.
So do you have any particular maybe plans to use this first house transit of the sun that's coming up for you? To put yourself out there? Are you Leo friends?
I am working on our website.
Yes, indeed, and getting the name out there so people will know who you are.
There's that.
I think you're lined up to maybe give us a talk as well, maybe?
Yes, in March, but I'm planning for that. Yeah.
But still, but there's a few things maybe in the pipeline coming through.
Yeah. Yep. And so for everybody else, though, it's fall here in the Northern Hemisphere, and Scorpio always coincides with Halloween, which is just more than perfect. it's such a Scorpio holiday, and dressing up and going incognito, going undercover, putting on a mask and lurking around. Of course, kids don't trick or treat at night anymore, I've heard.
They do it in the evening when it's still daylight.
Right,
yes,
exactly, right after school. It's there's a time limit and everything, which is, it's just funny to me, having grown up in the 80s when, it's just a free-for-all and kids roaming in the street at all hours.
To be honest, I've never done Halloween until I came to Canada.
Is that
so
true?
It was news to me, absolute news.
Wow.
Because I don't want to say in the rest of the world, but not even before I came here, it was also always known as All Saints Eve.
Yeah.
Because Halloween is traditionally the night when the souls in the cemeteries will rise up.
Right. The veil between the two worlds is
and
the thinnest of all those.
And that was
Stephen
that kind
King
of.
Things.
Yes, and it's known as, what is it, Samhain? It's
right.
that pagan holiday. It's the mid time between.
Yeah. Just one of those few that was actually able to be carried over, into modern times.
Yes, so. Because those cross quarter days always appear, don't they, in the fixed sign. So there's four of them as well.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
And then on the 1st of November, it's All Saints Day, so the Saints take over again.
The Saints take over again,
I know.
Exactly.
It's kind of, and that's where, that's why there's all skeletons, a symbology for
Memento Mori, a reminder of of mortality. Yeah.
Because Scorpio is the sign of death, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And one of the symbols there's a scorpion, of course, which everyone knows about, but then there's also the eagle and the phoenix, which is the mythical bird that rises from the ashes of its own demise.
Fantastic symbolism for Scorpio. It's
absolutely
very positive.
It is. It's beautiful. And one of my favorite characters from the X-Men, if I can geek out for a moment, was the phoenix. And anyway, I won't go into that, but a very, very scorpionic character. And she's in the movies as well, so...
But to go back to the eagle, I know years ago when I was learning astrology, and they were saying that you have the Scorpio type who's down with the scorpions, and then you have so many who can actually rise above it, and they call it a grey eagle, I seem to recall, that would soar high and soar above, but it was still a carnivorous bird.
Predator,
so there's still that predator feel to Scorpio.
And a very solitary, animal.
Yes.
It's the solitary hunter and the sort of, distant... But with the sharp eyes and the sharp talons and the beak and just plucking its prey out of wherever.
So it's there's quite a lot of symbology that goes with Scorpio.
Definitely,
isn't there?
Yeah. And it's also associated with, I'm a Virgo, but I'm going to just say it's associated with sex. And so this is another taboo topics, I suppose, would be the catch-all for that.
They say it was the inevitables of life, sex, death, and taxes.
They do say that, yeah.
So,
three things that can be avoided for a long time, but never forever.
Never forever, because we all will eventually die. But Scorpio is not about that or dying of the physical body.
No.
It's about when things end and new things can begin as the phoenix comes up with fresh feathers.
And it's about not just the rebirth, which is a very important part of that, but also about the awareness of death being a motivating force for life, for just being aware that one day, you know, you don't have all the time in the world, and so you need to seize the day, and all those, you know, catchphrasy things. But that is an important, you know, message of, it's not just doom and gloom and, you know, the angel of death and the scythe and the sickle, but it's being aware that, you know, that you don't have your whole, you know, all of eternity to just lounge around and do nothing.
Even.
And and mortality is, you know, the one thing that, regardless of class and race and countries, we all share. And, you know, that is, it's actually kind of beautiful and inspiring if you think about it the right sort of stoicistic way. Stoic way. Yeah.
So could we also then stretch it one bit further and say that as the sun goes through Scorpio, this would be a month to finish off dead things and move on to new things.
Absolutely.
Transformation from the caterpillar to the butterfly.
Yes. Purging of things that are no longer necessary. And
don't hoard. Purge.
Right. Yes. The spring cleaning that that all those in the southern hemisphere will be getting into. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely a fall cleaning, I think.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
When the sun is in Scorpio, it is a good time too.
Yeah. It's when you start to dig out your sweaters and your, you know, I started wearing my gloves outside just this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I wear my gloves in Vancouver like 9 months out of the year.
Do you? And of course, now the color for Scorpio is, because it's ruled by Pluto, it's like dried blood, whereas Mars is fresh blood red. So Pluto's like maroons and rubies. And I do see you in a lot of these colors and around me in your home, because it's showing through in your ascendant.
It's true. It's true. And also, I mean, well, can go ahead and say my hair. I've been dyeing my hair red for ages.
And it's vibrant.
It's bright red as possible. And it's naturally, you know, it's not a terrible color. It's like, it's dishwater blonde.
But that's your ascendant showing.
It is.
What would you say?
It is. And it's funny, the first time I ever dyed my hair red in life was right, and I've looked back and found this, and I just thought it was incredibly funny, was when Pluto actually transited my ascendant in, right? And I was in school at the time, and it actually started out by accident that I had to dye my hair red. I had done a Halloween costume as Cleopatra, and I had thought it would be great to get this temporary black, you know, dye, and just a rinse, in quotes, right? Mm-hmm, which, of course, we know now as women, doesn't exist.
Right.
It didn't rinse out so much as it just...
rinsed in.
Yeah. It faded to greenish, brownish, awful, and I went to a salon, and I said, the only thing she could do was to eventually dye it red to counteract
the green.
Okay. Because there was no getting it out, which I ended up having red hair for years, and I loved it. And
it's interesting that you say that you were actually doing it for Halloween, which is happening in Scorpio, which coincides with your ascendant.
Totally. And what a Scorpio image, that Cleopatra as well.
Yes.
It's the asp and the death and power as a woman, all of those things. So,
and the eyeliner. I've got this moon in Scorpio. Mm-hmm. That's just my sister. We actually have the same degree. And it is the eyeliner.
Yeah.
Even if you're lying in bed in hospital, you've got the eyeliner.
Totally.
And it's to do with the eagle.
Yes, and also in Egypt, ancient Egypt, it was so bright and sunny, and they use that to shade their eyes from the burning sun.
So I was just wondering if maybe Egypt is like ruled by Scorpio, because they were big into the dead, weren't they? And the passage to the
More
afterlife.
Than almost any other society I can think of, besides ours.
I'd have to have a look into that and discover.
Yeah, exactly. I would wonder what chart we could even use for that.
Well, there's bound to be one somewhere.
We'd have to find one,
Yeah.
Fascinating. So, I did a bit of research into some Scorpio icons history.
And these are people with the sun in Scorpio?
These are people that have the sun and also several other planets in Scorpio. There is a website that our audience may or may not be aware of called AstroTheme.
Yes.
And it's an amazing database of characters and, you know, everyone from sports figures to historical figures to modern day, you know, musical acts I've never heard of. Royalty. Lots of royalty. but you can search it by any category you like, any factor of their charts. And you can be very specific. You can say, I want, you know, someone with the sun in Scorpio and the moon in Aries and the second house.
And
you can find. Yeah. What I did was I searched for just the most, you know, percent of the highest percentage of Scorpio planets.
Okay,
you know,
lovely.
Of all people ever. So
let's see the
this
list.
This is a selection of those.
This is Owen's top, what, top five?
Yeah, four.
Top four.
Only four.
Scorpios of all time.
Of all time. And actually, a lot of the, of course, you know, from this list, a lot of people on the first page, I had no idea who they were. So the first one that I did actually recognize, and I'll just come out and say it, was Georgia O'Keeffe, the painter, very famous female American painter, painted flowers, giant, beautiful, very modernistic, but also, well, let's just say, it's only a Scorpio that could have painted flowers all her life that people look at and think of sex. Inevitably, these are very, very visceral flowers.
Mm-hmm,
let's put
mm-hmm,
it that way.
Mm-hmm.
but she was described as a loner, as a very sort of prickly, independent person, someone who exuded quietness and calm and intensity and
mm-hmm.
severity, which are all, of course, very Scorpio things. She was a very sort of rugged, outdoorsy person towards the second half of her life. She grew up in the Midwest and on the East Coast at first, and then moved to Santa Fe, outside of Santa Fe, actually, and New Mexico. So all of her landscapes, then she became obsessed with painting the landscape around her, which was all very desolate and deserty, and
gosh,
cow skulls and you know, beautiful red rocks and stark sort of stony you know, landscapes and all, you know, just very Scorpio sort of themes. So that's the top.
So
one.
Would you say her art is actually a sort of reflection of maybe some of the Scorpio?
Absolutely, yeah. The symbols and the,
yeah.
I mean, aside from the cow skulls, which is, you know, arguably Taurus, but but also the
so it's death,
absolutely,
yes.
And just the reminders of, you know, of a stark landscape, which is
clinging
is,
to life.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Clinging, we are clinging to life, aren't we?
Absolutely, and she brought, you know, obviously just an amazing amount of life to these very sort of dead and stark, you know, things that she painted. And you know, many people could look at these and just think, oh, you know, that's just rocks, and you know,
mm-hmm.
but when you look at her paintings, they're amazingly vibrant and alive, even if it's just a mountainside with no vegetation. And you know,
maybe we could put a couple of her images on our website.
Certainly,
absolutely.
Anyone that hasn't seen many of her paintings, they are absolutely
yes.
gorgeous.
Because she's passed on, hasn't she?
She has.
Yes.
She died at 98. So that's another,
that's,
I mean,
something to aim for.
Anyone can, you know, obviously, arguably, anyone can live a long and, you know, whatever life. But just the idea of, you know, her hardiness and her just sort of tenacity as a
tenacity,
human being,
yes.
to just survive. And she painted almost until her death. I mean,
fantastic.
Very, very.
So she must have a huge body of work.
Absolutely.
Mm.
And she drew when she couldn't paint anymore, when she couldn't actually, you know, be around the fumes of the, you know, and all these things.
Mm.
She drew until almost, I think, within 2 months of her death, or
okay.
maybe even longer.
Yeah.
But yes, a very, very,
very interesting,
rugged
very interesting.
And interesting person.
And you've got her chart there, so we
I
can,
do.
Okay,
yeah.
Lovely.
Absolutely fascinating person. Next one that I found, just sort of going in order of percentage here.
Yes, our top four.
Top four was Oscar Pistorius,
yes.
who is a sprinter from South Africa who was in the news a great deal in 2012 and 2013.
He's
first
an Olympic winner?
He's, yeah, he well actually he won the Paralympics for 2004, 2008, and 2012. He's a sprinter who actually is, he has prosthetics from the knee down. He had his legs removed from the knee down when he was less than a year old due to just a sort of, I can't remember what part of the what part of the bone was improperly, you know, it was growing improperly, and so they had to do the surgery when he was very young. But he's worn prosthetics all of his life, and so he participated in sports all through school. And when he was 16, he took up running, sprinting, and he has these fascinating. If you've not seen them, you should definitely see the pictures. They're not leg-shaped.
It's like
probably, yeah, these interesting little, and they call them blades, and so he's nicknamed the Blade Runner, which is
mm-hmm.
just such a Scorpio thing right there, too.
After the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and just the silhouette of this person who, you know, who is using this, just a futuristic, really interesting sort of silhouette, and very severe and kind of shocking when you first
yes.
see him.
Yes.
But and you know, he's an attractive man as well. He's, you know, he's sort of you know, a cute guy, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and that's an interesting, I think, sort of dichotomy in the Scorpio sense of, you know, the attraction, you know, apprehension, sort of what's going on here. It's an interesting thing that kind of forces you to look at, you know, something that's taboo, like different, you know, different body configurations, people who in, you know, in the past would have felt the need to cover up, to, you know,
okay.
to sort of make themselves appear as others do,
right.
just to make them more comfortable.
To conform.
Yeah, and just, you know, breaking through all of those barriers is a very Scorpio thing
mm-hmm.
that this man has done. And you know, obviously to become a champion athlete by the time he was, you know, he was 18 when he won his first gold medal in
mm-hmm.
2004.
That's amazing.
And he's gone on to win in three now Paralympics, and he participated, he was the first double amputee to participate in the actual Olympics in London in 2012, which is an incredible accomplishment. Unfortunately, just pause there.
The story continues.
Unfortunately, the story did not end there. In February of 2013, if there was anyone that hadn't heard of him up until that point, he would have definitely entered the public consciousness after that.
Mm-hmm.
When he was charged with his girlfriend's murder, he had been photographed publicly with his absolutely gorgeous, stunning, blonde model girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, who is a South
mm-hmm.
African as well. Just a very striking couple. They were, you know, seen together for, you know, the whole time that he was in the news. And she was found dead of three gunshots in his home in South Africa, behind a locked bathroom door, which is, you know, obviously sort of a weird situation and questionable. And I've seen diagrams of the house, you know, because you just get sort of a morbid fascination and you want to. And that's another interesting, I think, just the Scorpio archetype coming out right there. It's, you know, you feel this attraction, repulsion of the story, even.
Of the murder?
Yeah, just the whole thing. You just go, oh my God, what's happening there? And you're hunched over your computer and you want to know more, but you kind of think, oh, is this lurid, you know, you know, there's something wrong with me. But it's, right, exactly. But we all do that, right? Right? But I think that's another interesting lesson of Scorpio is that,
absolutely.
You know.
Research.
Yeah,
delving,
research.
And I'm happy to go into the dark side of life.
Unearthing this dark story and finding out it's to do with love and sex and death and loss and pain and, you
yeah.
know, and anger. I mean, if he did murder her on purpose as opposed to, as, you know, he says, by accident, which is also very possible. And God, you know, if so, like, horrifically tragic and, you know, yet another thing that he'll have to, you know, rise from the ashes of if he's found not guilty of this
mm-hmm.
Of this crime. And his trial is starting next March, so we'll find out how that
about
goes.
That then. Interesting.
But I think either way we'll all be riveted to that, you know,
absolutely.
To that story. I feel like I should take a breath. I've got two more people to go through, but let's I don't know, should we come back to them or
let's keep moving
okay.
forward. Yeah, absolutely. Who have we got up next?
We've got let's see, Martin Scorsese.
Oh, yes.
Everyone
yes,
hopefully
yes.
will know who that
Everyone
is.
Who is the director.
A wonderful director. He directed such films as...
He was married to Liza Minnelli, or just as her mm-hmm. girlfriend.
I honestly don't know who he's married
he's
to.
He's married to Julia Cameron, the writer.
Oh, that's very good. I don't know anything about her.
Okay, well, there we go.
It's good to know these.
It's news to me as well. Tell us about him.
Well, he has been obviously a famous director that was associated with New York, with Robert De Niro, with the Goodfellas, with Gangs of New York, with Taxi Driver, with Raging Bull. These very iconic sort of
violent.
American New York-y violent
Dog.
Crime, you know, a sort of a loner male figure was usually mm-hmm. The topic of the, you know, the central figure was usually, well, I guess Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver is probably one of the most iconic figures, probably, you know, of all films in the top 100 characters
mm-hmm.
of, you know, I think the AFI did a list about maybe 6 years ago of the most iconic characters in film history, and I think
right.
he was in the top 10.
And Scorsese, just to be clear, mm-hmm. this is his genre, is it, that he's working in?
Absolutely,
okay.
yeah. His genres, these are, you know, obviously his older films, and he's done several films more recently with Leonardo DiCaprio, who's interestingly also a Scorpio. So... Of Gangs of New York, The Aviator, and more recently The Departed, which is the one that he finally won an Oscar for.
Typically, this is Scorpio.
Very,
it's
very
so Scorpio.
Scorpio. All of these things,
lovely.
Exactly. And, you know, just the flip sides of the same coin of, you know, in that film, the crime and the law enforcement and how, you know, how they're both sort of they're, you know, very interestingly sort of morally balanced, maybe imbalanced, and how that works in the psyches
okay.
of all the characters,
yes.
and how there's, you know, there's a great deal of similarity between the, you know, the people that are committing the crimes and the people chasing after them. It's they often, the lines are blurred, and that's a very, you know, Martin Scorsese sort of theme. But and he won the Oscar for that after being
all these years
after all these years of being nominated.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So that was it was interesting that it was when he paired up with his Scorpio actor that this happened. But yeah, he's got Mercury, the Sun, Venus, Mars, and his IC, which is the cusp of the fourth house. All of those in Scorpio.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah. Almost half of his chart is all in Scorpio planets or Scorpio.
Great.
Yeah. So anyway,
and he looks it too, isn't he? Because he's quite short,
yes.
as I recall. Because I know
yeah.
Scorpio
dark with the dark eyebrows.
And yes, eyebrows that won't quit. Is that what they call them?
Exactly, and very intense eyebrows. This is the thing with Scorpios, and at least with Scorpio rising, very very, you know, very common also in Scorpio Sun is the intense eyes, and you can generally you can pick them a mile away. I actually find that I can a lot of the time just guess if someone has Scorpio rising or is a Scorpio. It's,
because you're living that through your chart, so it's
funny.
Part of you, and you're part of your consciousness.
It's almost like a magnetic thing. You sort of, you know,
yes.
you're projecting something, and then you can actually, weirdly enough, sort of
spot
like
it,
a tractor beam, just spot it.
Takes one
others.
To know one, sort of thing.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting. That's interesting.
And yeah, absolutely. So that's Martin Scorsese, and I'm going to be posting these notes. As it sort of turned into an article as I was writing notes to prepare for
Fantastic.
Today. So I'll post them on the site. And anyone wants to look at these charts, they're interesting.
And our site would be?
Oh, accessastrology.com. Right now it's forwarding to our Twitter page, which
it is.
And we will be posting things via that.
Shortly.
Mm-hmm. The last character that I went into was also a very iconic, and anyone who's familiar with his work, Robert Mapplethorpe, the photographer. And without getting into too much detail, in the 80s he became incredibly well known and notorious for his erotic and bondage themed photos of men in the gay male community and
classic Scorpio.
Classic Scorpio. If you see the photo of him that accompanies this article, he is staring out from a black field of you know, only his face is showing from this field of the black background. He's wearing a turtleneck, I guess. You can only see his face, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And then his hand is coming forward, holding a cane, I guess, with a skull as the top of it. So it's couldn't
it's okay. It's all
get
symbology
more Scorpio
coming through, isn't it?
Totally, all the symbology. And I don't know if he, you know, was aware of that, or if it's just that's how they are. That's how they roll.
That's how they are.
But you know, his work was you know, it became actually the sort of the motivating factor for all these Christian groups. The National Endowment for the Arts had funded one of his shows, and it was a huge thing about public funding for arts in the U.S. and should government be involved with this? This is where the whole
okay.
I don't know, you know, the definition of pornography, but I know it when I see it. This is where that came from. Was I think Jesse Helms may have said it, or I don't quote me on that. Google it yourself. But someone back then, it was that. It was that whole thing in the 80s, and you know, the conflict between sort of the middle class, you know, average person and what they think, you know, is appropriate to you know, to see and to be
mm-hmm.
out there and available, and he was, you know,
pushing the boundaries.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
pushing the boundaries, probably past what most people, even, you know, liberal, happy, want to, you know, see everything and fund everything kind of people would really even, you know, many people would not want to look at his you know, some of his photos. Many of them are beautiful and just nudes, and you know, and then some of them are, you know, extreme and
a bit disturbing, some perhaps.
Some and some of them, there were overtones of racism, you know, associated with some of them. You know,
total taboos all
absolutely all the taboos, all of them right out there in front. And he died in 1989, right at the height of this controversy, at the age of 42 of AIDS, you know.
Tragic, yes.
Yeah, and you know, AIDS was killing more people, you know, year after year then.
Yes.
It was up to about 50,000 a year, the year that he passed away. And
well, AIDS was discovered when Pluto went
was
into Scorpio.
Exactly, when Pluto was in Scorpio, right.
Yes.
And it peaked in 95, which was the last year that Pluto was in Scorpio. So it's a very interesting trajectory, you know, the whole Scorpio thing of bringing all those things to light and unearthing it and making people face the, you know, unpleasant reality of, you know, of death, of sex, of people that talked about how they had sex and who they have sex with, and you know, the people
yes.
that don't want to know and want to cover their ears.
Yeah.
And just forcing all that to light. So he definitely, without meaning to, because he was not an activist by any means,
mm-hmm.
you know, But you know, his artwork brought all these things to the forefront and made people sort of deal with it.
Gosh, so you've really brought us a showcase of quite scorpionic people and showing different sides of the Scorpio, really.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, those themes are all things that you know, that are parts of reality, and I think that's one of the gifts of Scorpio is that it does sort of bring all these things to light and mm-hmm. unearth them and even things that we don't want to look at. So I think that they're a gift to everyone else.
Very interesting. That's great. And you'll be putting that information on our website.
Absolutely.
And some of the images for the two photographers and the artists.
Yep.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get all those. Well, I think that's interesting. Yeah. Talking about Scorpio, because the sun's going to be in Scorpio for a whole month. Yes.
Yep. So what are you going to go as for Halloween?
I have one costume and I'm a witch. Because I think with Halloween, it's all in the hat.
It's all in the hat, said the Leo.
It's all in the hat. So once you put the hat on, it's quite clear you're the witch. Now, a couple of years ago, when my kids were, and we lived in a suburb where people came for the Halloween goodies, which was only up until last year. And where we lived, we would have 150 people knocking at a door on Halloween night. Yes, because we had to stock up.
Ow.
Living in a family suburb, right?
Yeah.
And so I'd have my hat on. And that's about it, really, to dish out the candy for the little trick-or-treaters coming through the door.
Yes, little monsters.
We call them little darlings.
Oh, do we? Okay.
We do. Because
even if they're dressed as monsters.
Yes,
yes.
And then there were some rather large darlings as well, whom we challenged, but apparently it's once you get into high school, you're really not into it anymore.
Yes, that's
But
true.
The young ones would come through, so...
I should say,
are you wearing for Halloween? Yeah, clearly you've got it all lined up.
Oh, I don't. I just, I was thinking I should do something. I have a friend that recently asked what we want to do for Halloween, which I haven't really done anything for Halloween the last couple of years, but I would like to. It used to be my favorite holiday.
Back when I used
to have a life and go to clubs.
Scorpio, when you used to go out and about.
Yes, yeah. I've definitely been a vampire more than once.
Have you?
Oh, yes. Yes, and I would say it's all about the fangs, but it's not.
It's okay.
It's more often about the, I don't know, the eyeliner, the cleavage? I'm not sure.
It's one of the whole vamp.
Vamp.
Yeah.
Pyre. Yeah.
Sookie Stackhouse. Move over.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, I haven't done that in a while. But one of my favorite costumes when I was younger, not super younger, I think 11 was when I first did, was the Marilyn Monroe costume. That was, which of course, back then also it was after dark and you'd go out and, you could actually look quite a bit older with the Marilyn Monroe makeup. But yeah, I don't think it's like that anymore. You'd feel kind of awkward going out at like 4 in the afternoon dressed as Marilyn Monroe as an 11-year-old, I think.
Yes, because we're living in the city now. We don't actually see that kind of suburban kid business going on.
We don't see that. We just
the dog as well. And dressed up as something.
Oh, that's always, I love that. I like the dog outfits.
Yes.
I get a few emails every year with the dog, the best dog costumes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How interesting. How interesting.
Show me those.
So what the Scorpio rising was at Halloween, eh? My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's have a look at some of our moon phases that we've got maybe
Absolutely.
Coming
What's
up.
Going on with the moon?
What's going on with the moon? The moon's in the disseminating phase, meaning it's just a period just after the full moon, and that's the time when you want to disperse your seeds and spread things about. Not much construction happens, but you're spreading
seeds. Now, is that waxing or waning?
It's waning.
Excellent.
For our fortnight, 2-week period, we're talking about the moon's waning from start to finish. So it's just come past the full and we're going through the disseminating phase. And then when we get to Saturday the 26th, it'll be at the last quarter phase, which is where the moon is in Leo, squaring the sun in Scorpio.
Mm.
So that's a time when they talk about it as the plant grows around, as the moon phases, plants would be setting seed and you would maybe catch them as well, or let them lay fallow during that period, its last quarter. We're coming into, as soon as the moon moves into the last quarter phase, it's into the darker side of the cycle from the lighter side. So things are going to be winding down a little bit.
Hmm.
And then when we get to the on the 29th, the sun, the moon will move into the balsamic phase, and that's the eighth, the last phase before we get a new moon again. So during that period from the 29th to the actual new moon on the 3rd of November, it's a time to really just let things be.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just start new things, you don't want to bring in a project, you just want to let things be. It's a time to rest up as a seed would if it was laying under the soil, quietly just resting through winter.
Right.
A bit like hibernation, maybe.
Hibernation, yeah.
So if you're feeling inclined to just go home, shut the door and not go out socially, that is really encouraged by that moon phase then. The
Except for Halloween, of course.
Except Halloween. Well, what it will mean is that there will not be a moon on Halloween.
I was going to ask about that. That's interesting.
And it'll be the new moon on the day after Halloween, so that it's going to be black night.
Interesting.
In the balsamic phase, so hopefully things are resting and not coming out of their graves to come and tickle your fancy. Yeah, so for our whole period that we're talking about, the moon is in the waning phase, so it's a time of things are coming towards an end, things are growing, diminishing, the light of the moon is getting smaller. So it's often, if you start things in those kind of in the waning phase that you want to reduce, such as paying off your debt, starting a diet to reduce, and this kind of thing.
Excellent.
Because we have a waning half for 2 weeks, and then a waxing half starts at the new moon.
Right.
I've just mentioned that new moon is actually on the 3rd. It's just the sun. That's the 3rd of November, and we also have a total solar eclipse there. But I'll discuss more about that in our next session. But that's coming up, so that's going to be interesting.
Absolutely. I see you've also brought a deck of cards. Let's talk about that. That is a beautiful box. That is, see going into a bookstore how that would have jumped off the shelf right into your hands.
It jumped right off the shelf. There was nothing I could do, and it landed in my hand. What could I do? I had to walk out and pay for it.
Yeah.
Pay for it and walk out.
Exactly.
What I'm discussing here, the product review I'm going to be talking about today, is the astrology reading cards. Your Personal Guidance from the Stars by Alison Chester Lambert. She's the woman who authored the actual words on the cards, and with illustration by Richard Crookes.
Mm.
These are two people, actually. She's in England, he was apparently in Asia. Mm. They got together, they met on Facebook. They'd never met before.
Wow.
And they liked each other, whatever the connection was, and they got together to do these cards.
Very cool.
Now, they're very interesting. I think there's 34, 36 cards, and they come in three sections. There is the zodiac sign cards, and each card for each sign. So we've got Leo, Taurus, Scorpio. Then there are the planets cards, and they're in the blue, and that's got each planet on, Saturn, Mercury, Neptune, and so on. And then in the green, we have the houses card, talking about each of the 12 houses in birth chart.
These are beautiful cards. They all have
glossy
photos and sort of layers of art and words, and it's just,
we can probably,
they're just beautiful.
A couple of images up when we get
absolutely
off website running, with the link where you can buy these. They're really nice.
And so how would you use these in a...
Yes, indeed. What you would do is, when I have a client, I take all the planet cards together, and I fan them out on the table. And I take the zodiac signs and fan them out, and I fan out the house cards. And it's all face down, so the client cannot actually see what they're picking.
Mm-hmm.
Then I invite my person, in fact, I suppose if we've thought about it, we could have done it right now, to pick a planet and a house and a sign card. And you know the one that you want to pick, it feels good to you, and you're going to pass me three cards in all.
I am actually doing this as we speak, just for fun.
Yes, Arwen is just picking out a house card, a zodiac card, and a planet card. Now, the three cards you have chosen
at random, without looking.
At random, with nothing up my sleeve.
Right.
We have Pisces,
hmm.
which is very interesting.
Indeed.
I'm going to read you the small what's written on the card. This energy is wistful, endlessly loving, compassionate, and forgiving. It confuses and softens resolve.
Hmm.
So what are we saying here? It's the image of the two fishes, that things are going to be gentle, they're going to be soft, and you're not going to be hard about things.
Interesting.
We're then going to look at the planet card, and you chose the moon, which is a beautiful
very
card.
Similar kind of symbology there.
Exactly.
What is the universe trying to tell me?
The universe is saying, the moon card is saying, your unconscious, sensitive inner emotions and responses. That's what is under discussion through this reading, through Pisces. The moon actually is, rules a water sign. Pisces is a water sign. We've got a bit of something going on.
There's beautiful green water and
it's,
glowing.
Yes, it's glorious.
Images,
it's like
on
there's
these.
Even fireflies above,
mm-hmm.
And the moon is reflected on the water.
Yeah, those are gorgeous.
And your house sign is the seventh house.
Oh.
And straight away we know this is to do with your relationship. There's the picture there of the yin and yang,
mm-hmm.
the male, female, the anima, animus. So we're talking here about your relationship, your close personal relationship with the man in your life, who happens to be our producer.
He
Thank
does.
You very much. And the seventh house card says this area of your life is about long-term significant partners, romantic business, or family.
Well, are the cards trying to tell me to be nice to my boyfriend? Is
I
that
think
what
they are?
Wow, that is very, very intense.
And
that,
it's a pity he's actually not in the room to have heard that, because it's a very, this reading to me,
had I not
from start,
yes.
I would want to say that it's time for you to actually pay attention to those inner messages, to listen to your inner voice, to do what you feel is the sensitive thing to do with regarding your relationship. Because the seventh house has come up, it indicates that the relationship is a topic for discussion,
mm-hmm.
but maybe the way forward for you is to actually take it gently, be gentle with him too, and not go guns blasting and have a row and or drive off in the car or whatever it is.
Well, that'll be easy for me. I don't drive, but
the point is to take it easy. Use your emotions,
yeah.
use your intuition during this time,
right.
to actually get this communication probably going with him, or
yeah.
maybe he's trying to tell you something and you're not listening.
Possible.
But then he'll hear it on the tape later. But how interesting. And
that
all
is.
These three cards that you chose are all in the same
colors
palette.
Yeah, they're all these,
it's all this
blues and greens and aquas and gold, you know,
watery,
reflections and round
and circle symbology.
It's all very, very similar.
So that they're actually lovely cards.
Oh,
and what I like to recommend these cards, I did a review on my site, I actually like to recommend these cards to my astrology students.
Yeah, that would be a great way to learn.
Because
about.
You can, and it comes with this handy dandy little book which does explain in more detail exactly what each card means.
That's great.
That supports the sentence or two that's written on each card.
Absolutely. So you don't just go by the keywords.
Exactly. So if you see the symbolism for Aries, it's entirely different.
That's great.
It's hot and fiery and
with
so
the sword
on.
The Aries card has, that's wonderful.
That's great.
Yeah.
So and there's actually they have the constellation on the card as well.
Oh, cool.
And the symbol.
Very
Pisces
nice.
And the symbol for the moon. And if you're an astrology student and you're really trying to get a handle on what's going on and there's so much to learn when you first start to learn astrology,
yeah.
I think these cards are great because you can practice, it's a fun thing.
Yeah.
And they're really very good. And they say, don't they, what a picture is 1,000 words or something?
I was going to say, if for someone that's more visually oriented and you know maybe they're looking at you know, an astrology book that they're trying to sort of absorb and they're just looking at these black and white words and they're just not grasping it, this would be a great tool for them to get the visceral sense of these concepts and just sort of wrap their head around, you know.
I think
you can't look at those three cards that I just drew at random just now and not get the you know, the impression you're supposed to get. You can't ignore those symbols. It's just right, you know, right
they're
there.
Lovely.
Very absorbing.
They're lovely. And because
yeah.
they're specifically astrology, they're not tarot.
Right, not
they're
at
not
all.
Even going down that road. Mm. They're specific planet sign houses,
yeah.
and these are part of the building blocks of learning astrology.
Right.
So to my mind, they're great cards.
Yeah. Very cool.
I like them, and people like using them as well, so, you know.
Well, who doesn't like, you know, pick a card?
Pick a card, and yeah. cross my palm with silver. But when you're doing a reading with these cards, you only ever do pick the three.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will then say, oh, I don't think I like that.
What,
can
three
I
more?
And you can't. You can't
no.
go there because that was the energy of the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's similar to doing a hurry chart of the moment,
mm-hmm.
saying, oh, here, whatever, and if we had a question.
Or I Ching or the Tarot, any of those
yes.
where, you know, there is a story and it does, you know, it does affect you. There is something to be read in you
That's
know,
right.
in whatever you pick, whatever your first choice is,
it's
telling you something.
It's the cards that came to you when you were touching them, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
I like them very much. I, as I said earlier, I do have tarot cards, But I like these because they're astrology cards, and that really is my passion. I'm not really into general New Age.
Yeah.
I'm particularly into the astrology, so I recommend them. I like them.
Yeah, definitely. Those are very cool.
Okay, so should we talk a little bit about some upcoming events we have?
Sure, absolutely. What is going on?
What is coming up?
You have something going on in Niagara Falls.
I do.
Very soon, actually.
It is, yes. In fact, it's probably during the week that the podcast goes out. There's the astrology conference in Niagara Falls, USA. It's just across the border from Canada. You can actually see the hotel from the border post. So you can walk across if you don't let you take your hire car with you. So it's an event. I think it's a five-day astrology event. There's three tracks running. There's endless discussions, beginner, intermediate, advanced. There's lots of lovely evening things to do. There's cash bars, banquets.
Wow.
AFAN, the American Federation of Astrological Networking, are there, and they have a hospitality suite. Every evening till midnight, where you can just pop in and share a glass of wine and some nibbles with,
nice,
if you can get in the door, because it's very popular.
Wow.
And it's beautifully positioned because it's directly opposite a casino, which I actually like, but that's that's me.
Well, that sounds like an amazing weekend.
Yes, it is, and it's if you're going as an attendee, it's great. And I'll be giving a lecture on solar directions, which is an astrology forecasting technique.
Right.
Not necessarily commonly used, and that's why I'm bringing it forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be talking about that. And then in November here in Vancouver, we've got the Body, Soul and Spirit Expo.
And that's the first weekend of November.
The first weekend of November at the P&E, which is near the city somewhere.
Yes, the fairgrounds. Just
the fairgrounds, exactly. And I'll be there with another astrologer, Leah Bolton. We're going to be doing mini readings.
Wonderful.
First come, first served, on the spot readings, astrology readings. And there'll be other people there doing Reiki and
nutritionists
and gym people and health tonic watch people.
Everything to do with mind, body and soul, spirit.
Absolutely. It's wonderful. It's been going for nearly 30 years. I didn't even realize that. But anyway, so we're very excited to be doing that. It's the first year I'm doing it myself, but the lady I'm doing it with apparently has done it many times in the past. So I think she's more got the score than I do on those things.
Good.
And then we still have our meetups, believe it or not.
And we say that because it is there are just a few of us so far.
Every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. in downtown Vancouver, we get together for astrology conversation. Yes.
10 a.m. at the Waves Coffee Establishment on Howe Street.
On Howe and Nelson.
Between Nelson and Smythe, yeah.
Now, this has been running on meetup.com, but I'm coming to the end of my cycle, and I'm actually not going to renew on there because for whatever reason. But it's on our website, and it will be on accessastrology.com, and it'll also be mentioned on my website, which is starzology.com.
StarZology.
And it's every second Wednesday, and there's a link there to my Facebook page, which will tell you if it's the Wednesday or if it isn't, because it's only every second.
Yep.
Because that's how things go.
Yes.
So we get together, and that's actually where we met.
It is.
Darwin and
then later found out we live in the same building.
I know.
Which is so bizarre.
It was crazy, wasn't it? Talk about things are meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's...
Anyone in Vancouver is more than welcome to come and meet us there.
Absolutely.
Though.
And you can buy yourself a coffee there and support the establishment, and it's great.
It's great coffee. Good.
We love our
food.
Guy.
Yeah. That looks like all the events that are coming right up.
That's right. Do we have any further ingresses we want to talk about, or are we?
Oh, we do.
I thought we may.
Not ingresses so much as transits, but we've got Sun trine Neptune, which is coming up on the 25th, on October 25th, Friday. And Sun trine Neptune is, Neptune is sort of mystical and illusion and
Friday night.
Yeah, partying and
go to the game if the Canucks are playing.
Sure, absolutely. Or non-sports people could maybe do something creative or romantic. It's all those things. And the trine is a sort of a happy, flowing aspect. So
it should be a good Friday night to go out. It should be a fun thing to do.
Take in a play. Take in an art exhibit. Take in a sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's a performance of any sort or
yes.
just a
bit
having a good old time.
Have a good time. Good Friday night to go and do something because the sun's trine Neptune. That's got to be a good night to go out and have a after dinner, I don't know, whatever, or
yeah,
dinner, maybe.
Yeah. Or, yeah, absolutely, all those things. And then on the 29th, we have Mercury conjunct Saturn, which is a bit of a, not so much the opposite of...
And that's retrograde Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second hit.
Yeah. Well, these are not disagreeing planets too much. They're not opposites exactly, energetically speaking. There are some good things about Mercury conjunct Saturn, which is getting serious, focusing on just anything that's, serious and well, Saturn.
Talk, phone your father,
Oh, there you go. Yes, or your lawyer, or...
Yeah. And don't argue with the traffic cop when he pulls you over.
Right, no.
You
no, when
win.
You've been drinking all weekend from,
from the
Neptune
sunshine. Neptune.
I wrote out a couple of keywords for this. Get serious,
yes.
Develop a master plan, study history,
Set up your timetables if you've got exams ahead.
Right.
Mercury's still retrograde.
Yep.
And this is happening in Scorpio, so...
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
I planned my next dental cleaning, it's right...
And you did
then.
That because Saturn rules teeth?
I haven't been to the dentist in a year.
And you did that because Saturn rules teeth?
Yes, that's right. That's exactly why.
Lovely.
So yeah, everyone call their dentist or father. And the day after that, we have a couple of Mars aspects. Mars is trining Pluto, and it's also going to be opposite Chiron, which, Mars trine Pluto is,
So is Mars near the Sun? It must be at that stage, hey?
Mm-hmm. Mars is in Virgo.
Yeah, I might get myself together here. Okay, so Mars...
Yeah, Mars is in Virgo, and it's going to be trine Pluto, which is in Capricorn still.
Oh, is it trine Pluto?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so Earth signs, Mars is definitely sort of an energetic, charge, sort of, in the military sense of the word. But in Earth signs, that could actually be a little bit less sort of... fiery and aggressive, but definitely maybe good energy to stand up for yourself or to,
I think as well we can bring in the association there that both Mars and Pluto rule Scorpio, where the sun
right.
is at the moment. So this is underlining a Scorpio theme, but because it's trine,
yeah.
we should see a different
More
expression
yeah.
of good activities, Scorpionic-wise.
Yeah, and maybe a good expression as opposed to what you'd normally think of as, conflict or...
Indeed.
With those two signs, or
yes.
those two planets, rather.
That's great.
Yeah. So maybe a good time to take charge of something, in a good way, seize your authority in a positive way, or to,
So it seems that during these two-week period, we've got a couple of trines coming up, a couple of conjunctions. We've got the Mercury retrograde, which is going to be ongoing.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, the one I did want to mention was on November the 1st. Mm. Uranus is exactly square Pluto again. This is the fourth one of seven.
That's right.
So that's
I went into my whole spiel about that last week and then just forgot.
Okay, well, that's fine. So that'll be 9 degrees of
yeah.
cardinal signs. So if you have planets at 9 degrees, there will be some tension. But we're
yeah.
working with it. It does affect a lot of people.
Yep.
But it's one of the exact squares. So that's why we
yeah.
note it as
one of the seven exact squares.
One of the seven exact squares.
Yeah.
So that's just... FYI, if you're a cardinal sign at 9 degrees, you're
yeah.
going to there's going to be tension.
Yeah,
as well,
and something to watch for in the news too. These things are definitely revving
yes.
up. You,
yes.
You've seen just in the
yes.
last couple of weeks the all
the
stuff that's going on in Washington D.C.
Yeah. So I think that's what we've got then for the upcoming transits and the planetary movements during our 2 week period that we're discussing.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. You can reach us by email at accessastrology@google.com.
At gmail.com.
Gmail. Oh, listen to me.
Yes, that's accessastrology@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter at accessastrology on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're posting a little bit of Twitter there. So do come along and follow us. We are growing.
Yes.
We are actually, Arwen and I, we're very pleased with the way our conversation is flowing, the way our podcast is moving. We're probably more fun, I think. And we thought that, didn't we? We'd like to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, we would love to hear from you.
We'd love to hear
questions
from you.
Anyone has any topics they'd like us to cover, we would be delighted to hear from you. Our producer and the person who has done our intro music is Roger Toes.
Thank you, Roger. And he's our producer and looking after our technical
our
side.
Audio, yes, taking
and,
care of
yes,
all of
that's
that stuff.
Wonderful.
Vital.
That's more Bible. They say what they, in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king. So clearly we, these things would not be brought to.
Yeah, we would just be talking to ourselves. Or each other.
Instead of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well this is Alison Price and I'm saying goodbye to you from Vancouver and we'll hear you again next time.
And I'm Arwen O'Neill and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Enjoy.